your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. This is George Butler. Charlotte is off tonight. Well, October 1, we had the shooting spree in Las Vegas, and there was a large festival down in front, or off to the side, Caddy Corner, from the Mandalay Bay Hotel Casino. And shooting started around 10 o'clock or so. And at first, the crowd was thought the first pops that occurred were fireworks going off. And then it became more ominous when the crowd sensed that and realized that they were being shot at by first weapon systems, and then actually what followed the first pops that went off were automatic weapons. Now, the official government story is that only Stephen Poddick from the 32nd floor, from two windows that were knocked out, did the shooting by himself. And they're trying to, focus the public's opinion in that direction. But what is really ominous about this is that the public that experienced the actual shooting on the ground, and there were about 22,000 in the audience that evening, and it was a Sunday evening, October 1st, Caddy Corner from Mandalay Bay. And well within the reach of the so-called automatic weapons that Stephen Poddick had in his room. And it wound up that after they went up there and the shooting was over and the man was considered, dead or suicided or whatever, you know what I mean, they discovered 23 weapons in his room. Now, let me say this about the number of weapons. That is far too many weapons for a sniper shooter, even on this mass basis, that, he was alleged to have mowed down from that 32nd floor. All of these people, there was 58 killed and around 500 wounded or injured. So he was alleged to have done this alone from that 32nd floor, suite, and then there was another room adjacent to the suite. So 23 weapons to me is a clear sign that there's a suspicious, ominous question about that. If a truly sniper was going to go up to that room by himself, he wouldn't need four or five weapons, but a lot of magazines to cram into those automatic weapons to continue to fire. Okay, the recordings that we have that were captured, some by cabby that was down below the hotel at the time. There was a cab driver that was pulling into the Mandalay Bay main hotel casino area about the time that this unfolded, and she recorded the gunshots, and what she recorded on her cab, dash camera recorder, were gunshots that were very far away, and then some that were sounded like they had come directly from up above her, possibly, or from the immediate area. So that gave rise to multiple shooters, you know, from the very beginning. All the time, the authorities are saying, no, Stephen Poddick acted alone. But the public is not accepting that, and they're not believing that to start with, see. So we have that discrepancy between the government line and the public. Now, let me say this about Vegas, okay? Vegas is a money center, considered to be Sin City, one of the, you know, colloquial names for it or slang names for it. So it's a big money center. They make hundreds of millions into the billions of dollars profit a year. So any problem like a shooting or anything that's adverse to tourism could scare off the public. And then those casinos may be sitting there with the big hotels empty. Now, MGM Grand, that owns the Mandalay, is the largest casino hotel in Las Vegas with well over 5,000 rooms, okay, and a massive complex of casino rooms and gambling and hotel rooms. So they stand to lose the most with adverse publicity coming out of this shooting. So the tendency for Las Vegas as a community and as casino owners and as business entities, corporate entities, is to downplay the number of injured or dead and wounded, and also to suppress any other shootings that might have occurred at other casinos in the immediate area. There are reports coming in from different sources and individuals. And we have up on our site tonight an eyewitness account. So go in there and listen to that. Rios is his name. And he and his girlfriend were there on the ground in the first front row, and they experienced ungodly things of deaths all around them and had to get out of there and finally wound up at the Tropicana, where they experienced additional shooting over there. They don't have any details because they were herded around, and they finally escaped from this herding mentality that people were trying to exert over them. So that's just another. So go in there and listen to that. That's a very interesting video. But he did escape with his girlfriend, and they survived. So getting back to this, Mandalay Bay, okay? So we have a man up there that's alleged to transport 23 weapons up there, and that's hard to do through their security. And 23 weapons is way too much for a sniper, assassin, gun spree killer to even take up there to start with. So that is suspicious, okay? The people on the ground, like I said before, earlier, a few minutes ago, experienced multiple shots from multiple locations. We have the cab driver there that was driving up to a taxi stand, getting ready to pick up customers, recording shots that were far away and shots that were immediately in the area. So there again, that proves that there were multiple shooters at multiple locations, at least two or more. We have ballistics expert Mike Adams, who did a scientific ballistics. He also confirms that there was multiple shooters at different locations. He's a fine person and a good scientist, and uses really good scientific methods to arrive at his final conclusions. So we have that input there. Alex Jones is doing a heck of a good job on InfoWars and his staff over there. The morning is Real News, and the afternoon is War Room, and they're all doing a fine job, and I must commend them for pushing ahead on trying to get the truth on this Las Vegas attack. So we have eyewitnesses. The authorities are going around and erasing supposedly most of the media and video and photographs that people took that were there. So this is not good. So, okay, let's get back to this story here. So we have a 64-year-old man. He has connections that we think to intelligence, organizations. We don't have absolute proof of that. But he looks like some kind of a cutout or some kind of an individual. There's alleging that he converted over to Islam. ISIS is saying they took credit for this, and that he's a convert to Islam, and so forth. We have a very interesting story coming in from Shamatsu, who is a journalist out of California. He's a Japanese-American, started his journalistic career in Japan, and moved on to Beijing, Thailand, and Hong Kong. He's an international journalist that's highly thought of. Well, he's come up with his own theory on this, that Stephen Poddick was intelligence connected, and that they had put RFID chips in those guns, those 23 weapons, and they were going to distribute those out and track those, say, through ISIS cells here in this country. And that's basically what he came up with. So that's one theory. We have the authorities through the sheriff and the FBI making announcements of three different timelines. The first timeline was that there was a security guard up there that confronted the shooter and was shot in the leg, supposedly. And the first story was that this occurred after the shooting spree had ended, okay? And that this guy was a hero for maybe stopping that or curbing somewhat that shooting spree. That was the first story. Then the next story was that it moved to about 6 minutes before the shooter began his shooting spree. Then the casinos woke up to that and said, uh-oh, we've got 6 minutes in there. Maybe we didn't notify the authorities enough. And then they saw multi-million-dollar worth of lawsuits against them for that. Then they moved the timeline up the third time to seconds before the shooting spree began, and the sheriff on Friday's press conference was not very clear about that. In conjunction with the security guard up there, there's a maintenance man that enters into this story, okay? And he supposedly was sent up there to check on a security door that was open. And after he checked on that door, his story is that Jesus Campos warned him about a shooter shooting down the hallway, and they were both in danger of being shot. And the maintenance man testifies to that in earlier interviews and so forth, statements. So this is in conjunction with these new timelines. See, we have the security guard that is stating that the shooter was trying to shoot him down the hall, you know, and the maintenance man is testifying and confirming that. Okay, so the latest disclosures and changes that have occurred have been overwhelmingly like cooking books. What we're looking at here, the authorities are changing three timelines. They're down to the idea that the security guard was shot in the leg shortly before the shooting went out there on the shooting spree, okay? At this last press conference on yesterday, Friday, we don't have a clear confirmation describing what the maintenance man's part was and a timeline on him, okay? Then, also the sheriff disclosed the fact that, yes, Stephen Poddick checked into that room on the 25th, but because it was so complicated and everything, it took them 8 days to finally find out that, yeah, that date was the 28th when he checked into the room, and they were giving out before that a date of the 28th. They had all the records for 8 days to ascertain, and then he put it off on an excuse that because of Mary Lou Danley, that's why they couldn't figure it out. They had this figured out within hours after the shooting, or within a day after the shooting. The next morning, they had all this figured out. So that's just another, bending and flexing of truth to benefit some kind of a story that will benefit, your feds here and your local police, and to keep it confined to one shooter. It's beginning to sound like Lee Harvey Oswald. He did it all alone. There was nobody else. Stephen Poddick did this all alone. There was no one else. That's what it's beginning to sound like, you know. Now, what's happened just this end of this week, just a couple of days ago, last Thursday, Jesus Campos was going to be interviewed by Sean Hannity, an exclusive interview, is the way they were billing it, because, you know, the way they promote these things, and that he was going to go on his show and four other interviews after that. And all of a sudden, Jose Campos is gone. You know what I mean? And nobody knows where he is. And then what's really interesting about this and really, really great about this is that Laura Loomis, bless her soul, went out to his house as an investigative reporter and got didn't get an interview, knocked on the door. There was a security guard that she interacted with a few minutes later, but got someone, a lady came to the door and said she couldn't say anything. And Laura asked her, is Jose Campos here? Is he okay? And we're trying to verify his, you know, health, and he's okay. And she said, the woman said, I can't say anything about that. Then Laura Loomis has verified that there's a gag order on the family, and that's including, Jesus Campos, who was the security guard on the 32nd floor that interacted with the shooter. So we have that going on. And what I'm going to do next is I'm going to bring up, Laura Loomis's visit to the house here. And I have click-offs on the site, too, if you would like to refer to that at your own leisure. But after, if you miss this broadcast, there'll be click-offs on the site for you to listen to. So why don't you listen to that right now?
Hi, everybody. So if you're tuning in right now, Jesus, sorry, it's really dark right now because it's nighttime, and we're in the car right now pulling up to Jesus Campos's house. So Jesus Campos was supposed to do an interview with Sean Hannity tonight and a few other people as well. He had like 5 interviews scheduled tonight, and all of a sudden he's gone, and people are saying that he's missing. I just don't understand how a guy who has armed security at his house to make sure he doesn't leave and that no one, you know, comes near him in the aftermath of this massacre. I don't understand how a guy like that goes missing. They're saying right now, the union that represents him and, other individuals as well, they're saying that they don't know where he is right now. I mean, this is just not normal. This is so weird. I mean, I left dinner right now. I was having dinner, and I just cut my dinner short because I wanted to see where the hell this guy is. And his car, he drives a red Corvette. I've received confirmation from several people that his car is the red Corvette, and it's in his driveway right now, doing a little runaround right now, and I'm getting out. So, where is it? How many doors away are we? Where is it?
I'm going to park right here in this corner.
I think that unmarked car over there is FBI. Like the same one, the same guy, right? That we saw the other day?
Yeah, we saw it both. There's no plates in the front and back. Just go behind us.
So I'm walking up to his house. I'm going to go knock on his door if the security doesn't prevent me. Because if he's really gone, then he shouldn't have security. If so, then it's a lie and he's home. Because if they're going to say we don't know where he is, then that's obviously a lie. If I walk up to his house right now and FBI or whoever's protecting him, like we saw yesterday, tries to stop me. So I'm going to find out whether he's home. And if the security's not there, I'm going to knock on his door and speak to his family. Because this is really weird. And I don't... You know, who canceled on Sean Hannity? If you're really a hero, why would you cancel on Sean Hannity? Here, can you take my cord? Just like, I don't know, just put it somewhere. Okay, we're getting out right now. This is absolutely... There's no media here. Okay, so this is probably the biggest story in the country right now, and there's no media outside this guy's house. You've got to be fucking kidding me. You mean to tell me that everyone's freaking out about this guy going missing and no one's here to find out whether he's really missing? I mean, seriously, the Las Vegas media and the national media is doing a horrible job covering the story. Hold on. Doors are open. Where's his house? Can you shine the light? Okay, I'm flipping the camera. So this is his house. I mean, we're here. So far, there's no security. Here's trying to put the car on his car yet?
Should we go now?
I mean, let's go. Let's find out. Be careful. We're here at his house. Does he have a doorbell? Ring the doorbell. Hello? Someone just looked out the window.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, can we speak to Jesus Campos?
We have information that he's actually missing and he canceled his interview with Sean Hannity. There's major concern throughout the nation that something happened to him.
Is he missing or is he here?
I have to go.
He's not here?
We can't talk about it right now.
Is he missing now? Because people are wondering if something happened to him. They're worried about his safety.
I can't talk right now.
Okay. Well, as you can see, you want to record? Here.
Come off the property.
Just record me. No, in the light right here, just so that we can see. So we just knocked on Jesus Campos' door, and somebody answered the door, and they said, I can't talk right now. So people are aware of the information. They're just not telling us what's going on. There's no other media here right now. They're looking out the window right now, trying to see what we're doing. But here, tilt the camera up, because no one can see right now. He's obviously not missing, because
Troy.
They know where he is. And now his security guard is here. So, hi, Troy.
Hi, Troy. Okay, we also have an unmarked vehicle right in front of the front of the residence.
People would really like to know, is Jesus Campos missing right now? Because he canceled all of his interviews tonight and didn't show up for his Sean Hannity interview.
Troy, and also, I
would have no information on
that.
I just have to ask you a quick question.
Folks know that you know you're not allowed on the property.
Okay.
If you have any questions, you need to address them to Metro's information officer.
Okay.
And that's the only comment that I have.
So you can't confirm whether Jesus Campos is missing? Also, you said that you worked for On Scene, a security company. We did a background check on Scene, and the business license for On Scene expired in January of 2017, and it has a virtual address. So the company that you work for, is it a real security company, or is it just some type of, you know, shill company that the FBI or DHS or LVMPD is using?
Just
give them a chance to answer. Hold on. Is there a reason why that the shirt that you're wearing right now, it says On Scene, you told us that you work for a security company called On Scene, doesn't have an active business license?
Yeah, these are
no comment.
Flags. These are major red flags.
This is major red flags. How is it that somebody is providing armed security, but the armed security company doesn't even have a valid business to be providing armed security?
A valid business license, that is.
No comment?
No comment.
No comment. So I'm going to ask you again, do you work for the FBI, do you work for DHS, or do you work for LVMPD? No comment. So for those of you who are tuning in, yesterday we paid the first visit to Jesus Campos. This is his house right here. That's his red Corvette, supposedly. Nice car for a hotel security guard. And we met Troy Goff over here, who says that he works for On Scene. On Scene, if you look up On Scene, it appears to be a fake security company. The address, the license, it's a virtual address, which is already really suspicious. You'd think that they would have Richard, you told me that you didn't work for the LVMPD, but Richard Klein, it says that he is former LVMPD. Do you work for LVMPD? Is it common for security companies to, practice without having a valid business license?
You know, there's a time.
Legally, there's no time restriction. We thought we'd come before 10 p.m. because we don't want to be rude.
We're really not trying to be rude. It's just there's a lot of inconsistencies. People are at the union office currently that Jose Campos is represented by, and they're saying that they have no idea where he is. But we just knocked on the door. And, I mean, that's false information. People in America currently think this guy is missing, and the woman just answered the door, and, you know, she has information. So if Jesus Campos is really a hero, why are law enforcement making such an effort to, you know, conceal him from the public? There's no way a guy who would be declared a hero by the LVMPD for his actions would decline an interview with Sean Hannity. President Trump watches Sean Hannity every single night. You mean to tell me that it's normal behavior for a guy who's trying to raise money for his medical funds, a guy who wants to be portrayed as a hero, to decline national media interviews to explain his side of the story? And on top of that, the person providing security is registered with a company, so.
Business license expired January 2017.
they have a virtual address instead of a physical location. It's definitely red flags. I mean, we ran a ton of background on you. We have your entire life story. You seem like you check out. You know, we appreciate what you're doing, of course, for the family. We understand.
We understand that you're here to provide, you know, security, and this is your job. But, like, when we checked you out, we did our own, you know, background check on you, and it says that you're, like, tied to the Department of Defense, and you have contacts. We looked at your Facebook. We looked at your social media, and, you know, that's what we were able to find out. So,
as well as non-public databases, of course.
Yeah. We also have contacts in law enforcement who have provided us with a profile on you. So I just want to know, it doesn't really seem like this company is really legitimate. It doesn't really seem like, you know, what you were telling us is very accurate. It seems like you are working for some type of intelligence agency, you know, tied in with the FBI or DHS, because the security company that you're claiming to work for isn't even a legitimate security company. I mean, we checked with the Nevada Secretary of State, and it has an expired business license. How is that possible? No comment?
Also, Richard Klein from OnScene, not only is the business inactive, which is a major red flag, but he also goes by the name Michael Klein.
Wow.
Do you know whose vehicle this is? Unmarked vehicle right here.
For those of you who are tuning in, Jesus Campos, who's the supposed, you know, hero security guard who appears to be more of a suspect than a hero. We're at his house. He just canceled on Sean Hannity unexpectedly and another four interviews as well tonight, national media interviews. And before security, you know, confronted us, a woman answered the door, a woman related to Jesus Campos, and she said that Jesus, she didn't say that Jesus was there, but she said that she's not allowed to talk. So she did say she's not allowed to talk. So the family is being ordered not to talk. So we already had suspicions that they're being silenced. We had intelligence suggesting that the FBI had implemented their secret gag orders on bellhop employees and security employees who they're, you know, trying to keep quiet. They already wiped the cell phones of, like, video and cameras for witnesses of the shooting. They're trying to destroy all photographic evidence, it appears. And the woman who answered the door, related to Jesus Campos, confirmed that she's being told not to talk about this.
Do you know who Mark Schnellerup is?
I'm not going to talk.
Yeah.
How come there's no other news media here? Jesus Campos is supposedly missing. He's not missing. He's not missing. They're just hiding him. Trying to light? Nevada plates, US 340H.
There you have it.
Red Corvette. Doesn't even have an accurate registration. It says 06. Are you telling me his registration is all the way from 2006? Am I reading that
right? We ran the plates. It's a salvage title as well.
So it doesn't even have an accurate registration. I mean, what is it? What year are we in right now? 2017, and this guy has registration from 2006? I mean, I can't get the VIN number because it's on the property and I can't walk on the property. You can't make this stuff up, you guys. Jesus Campos, I've confirmed with multiple people in law enforcement and people who know friends and family members of Jesus Campos that this is his vehicle. Look, and we're not trying to attack you. It's just this is becoming, it's almost like a lie for the American people. This is starting to look like an extreme cover-up, and we just want to know, like, what is the reason why they're trying to, you know, prevent the public from knowing who Jesus Campos is? I mean, is he even, like, a legitimate security guard? We ran his credentials, and he's not even registered with the state of Nevada in, like, the appropriate areas where it would, you know, list whether he was a legitimate credentialed security guard. I mean, who is this guy? Is he an accomplice? Like, he's the last person to see Stephen Paddock alive before he committed the worst massacre in U.S. history. Do you think that it's unfair for people to want to know about Jesus Campos?
Well, Also, MGM wiped him from the database,
right.
A major red flag, so it's like he never even worked there. So it's a
he
weird,
doesn't even have he doesn't even have like legitimate security
this is
credentials.
Like covert ops.
This is starting to look like covert ops false flag. And he's laughing
stuff,
for those of you who can't tell.
Either way, we know Troy is a good guy and he's just doing his job.
Yeah, Troy is probably just doing his job, but I do I'm just gonna ask him one last time. Is On Scene a real existing security company? Do they have a valid license to be practicing private security? Okay, he's nodding yes. Why is the license expired? By, what, 10 months? Is there a reason why the license would be expired? Are you allowed to answer that question?
No comment on any of your questions. I told you, if you have any questions, you just need to have Metro... Public Information Officer.
But why would Metro answer my questions? I thought you told me yesterday that you weren't connected with Metro, so why would Metro answer my questions?
They're the lead investigators on...
They're not the lead investigators. DHS and FBI took over the investigation.
Well, then I guess that's who you have to talk to.
Okay. Well, thanks for, answering the questions that you did answer, but just before we leave, can you confirm, is Jesus Campos alive?
Do we know
if he's...
We actually, the entire nation right now...
The entire nation would really like to know. Is Jesus Campos alive, or did he flee the country? Is he leaving the state of Nevada? Is he, is he being arrested? What is the deal? Why did Jesus Campos cancel all of his interviews tonight? No comment? Okay, well, thank you. Have a good night.
Have a nice evening.
You too. Oh, and just so we know for future reference, the cutoff date is 10 o'clock, right? For media being outside of properties, right? It's 10 o'clock?
That's correct.
10 p.m. Okay, so we followed the rules. We didn't come here and, where we weren't supposed to be here. It's not 10 o'clock right now. But, look, doing the work, the mainstream media, and clearly local Las Vegas media representatives and authorities don't want to do. I mean, this is a top story right now, and they have reporters who are swarmed outside of the union office in Las Vegas that represents MGM employees, and they're all asking, where's Jesus Campos? Why did he cancel? Is he missing? But nobody came to his house. We knocked on the door, and the family member clearly said, I can't talk about this. I was told not to talk about this. So who is preventing the family? We have confirmation right now that there is a gag order on the family of Jesus Campos. I'm sorry, but that's a red flag. If you are truly a hero and you really did nothing wrong, there would be no reason why you wouldn't be able to talk about what you saw and what you did. So, I'm logging out.
Let's do a sweep.
Just pull up really quick. What I want to see is an unmarked vehicle. So there is an unmarked vehicle. Wait. This is an unmarked vehicle that's outside his house. It's, what is that, like Toyota? So it's clearly Toyota vehicle parked outside of Jesus Campos' house, which suggests that it's not his security guard's car. He's driving a truck with plates covered right now. It suggests that is some type of federal vehicle, unmarked plates. I mean, you're not allowed to drive with unmarked plates. That car is most likely some type of federal agent. So there's no plates. So if you guys are tuning in right now, before I go, I just want to give you confirmation that the family members of Jesus Campos answered the door, and a woman told us that she was told she cannot talk to anybody about this, and she shut the door. So I don't think that Jesus Campos is missing. I think that he's in hiding. I think that law enforcement is keeping him concealed, and they're probably telling him not to talk, and I think that there's more evidence that's coming out that's suggesting that Jesus Campos really isn't the hero that Joseph Lombardo, the sheriff of Clark County, portrayed him to be, right? I think that we're going to learn sometime very soon that Jesus Campos is not the man of the hour. So stay tuned. I will be attending the press conference tomorrow, the joint LVMPD and FBI press conference. So send me your questions, tweet me your questions, because I'm going to have a lot of questions for the sheriff and the FBI, especially now that it was confirmed that Jesus Campos and his family members have a gag order placed on them. So, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
That was Laura Loomis out at Jesus Campos' house. There was a red Corvette in the driveway or the garage. There was an unmarked car sitting out in the road. And it's very suspicious. Like she said, there someone came to the door, a woman. And then she had this interaction with a security guard who she confirmed was working for a company whose license possibly was expired expired and not renewed last January. And then she alleges that that company has intelligence connections and so forth. So it's very, very interesting. But what it basically says is that we're looking at something much bigger here. The Las Vegas, attack and event and so forth is taking on characteristics of a deep state black ops operation, psyops or whatever you want to say. And this is very, very discouraging to the American public. We as researchers and investigative reporters over the years, okay, have come up with many, many discussions about what occurred in Europe, okay? And what occurred in Europe was a Gladio operation is what it became known as. And the Gladio operation actually came out of the NATO countries over there. And what was happening was your intelligence operatives in the different NATO countries were actually carrying out terrorist activities and terrorist operations to, they explained later, to tension the public, to conform them or transform them into a much more statist, national security state mentality. And, it was to scare the public, to tension them, where they become more malleable by a stronger, more powerful central government. So that's basically what we're talking about, possibly that's going on in America today. Some of us have named this the American Gladio operation. We're seeing a series of serial attacks and murders and so forth, whether it's schools or clubs or individuals mounting attacks that might be ISIS controlled or not. So it's getting to be that this country is becoming ungovernable in a way. Not yet, thank goodness. Because what we have is one of my little comments the other day on Facebook was, we have 7 billion investigative reporters. And that means everybody in the world has the potential to be an investigative reporter. And so what's shaping up is that the government that had been mounting very secret operations has less of an opportunity because of the ability up to 7 billion eyes and ears listening and watching them, plus the high tech that those individuals have been able to secure in the form of cell phones and recorders, digital recorders, and then just listening and on the internet. I'll say this, the networking that is taking place between investigative types of minds, is creating a network of intelligence. It's sort of the citizens' network of intelligence, And you could say citizens' intelligence network, see what I mean? And it's becoming worldwide, and the people that have been in charge of all these psyops and different, black operations are becoming more easily discovered and exposed, okay? So what I see that is occurring is that we have less that the governments and these psyops, these intelligence operators have less and less of wiggle room in carrying out these operations. Now, let's get back to the Vegas situation a little bit. We have YouTube that is still allowing some videos up there that are, entitled like Vegas, false flag, and things like this. So there are still videos up there that you can secure and look at. Now, one of the videos recently that was put up, and this has been published by the original publisher, and then it's been disseminated out. I don't know if anyone has actually checked this out and vetted, and we have not here. We're just broadcasting and reporting on something that's been published by someone else at this time. We have not fully vetted this next piece of information fully. But here's what the publisher said in that video. He claims to have secured employment records of Jesus Campos. And see, the big focus now of many of your investigative reporters should be on Jose Campos, because he did not, you know, he left, abruptly, Sean Hannity's affiliate there, the Fox station in Las Vegas, with no explanation of why he left. It raised a lot of red flags about him and his involvement, either as a security guard, or it raised suspicions of that might, flesh out to be his involvement in this on a higher level, other than just security guard, maybe possibly interacting on some level. Now, this is speculation, and I'm not saying that he was part of the shooting at all. I'm saying that the suspicions, when he starts acting suspiciously and people come in and put gag orders on him and his family, there's some other things going on out there. And this is looking more and more like a deep state, national security state operation to me. Now, they've taken this ISIS thing, this confirmation from them that they're taking credit for doing this. But that could be cover for the deep state operation that possibly took place in Vegas. Anyway, getting back to this Gladio angle. I was talking to Todd Fletcher a number of years ago, and we both concluded together and independently, before we even started speaking on the air on that interview, that these operations of mass killings in the schools or outside the schools or clubs or whatever, and this is one of the biggest ones, are transforming the American public and scaring them and inducing into them a great anxiety. So the public has a tendency to embrace a stronger and stronger government, which means that a national security state is even more overwhelmingly established. See, there have been former CIA agents that are stating that this is the goal is to establish a new world order with a diminished American influence, and to integrate America into a much larger new world order system. The one particular CIA, and I won't even mention his name, but he stated recently that in his opinion, that we're in a post-constitutional era, see. And he believes that these people acting through these missions and these projects and these special operations are acting way outside, of course, the Constitution, and that everyone is sort of turning their back on Constitution. Now, let me give you an example of that. The Constitution states that to wage war, the Congress must enact that, okay? And the President must sign that, agree to that. Well, they invented this thing called the War Powers Act a few years ago. So this is an out-of-control, centralized government that's taking on more power and just doing what they want through the creation of laws that are not constitutional. A War Powers Act is not constitutional, and most people realize that are in the know. But the politicians, through a very active, activist Congress and an activist Supreme Court, are taking on the mantle of a greater and greater power base, see. And that's just the way governments over the history of mankind have evolved, is that when you begin to acquiesce to government and you provide them the ability to do more and more for the citizens or to have more and more influence and power over the citizens, then that government is going to grow exponentially. And that's what the United States government has done at the expense of your poor working citizens, see? But the citizens out there are beginning to revolt against the mainstream media and all of these different, you know, say propaganda fronts, that they're beginning to be evident that that's what they are, see? So we're in a new era here. We still have the deep state that is controlling things, but the population is rising up, and I believe the election of Trump was one of the reactions to a wakefulness that was there, but it was unmanifested. I think through the election of Trump, it showed that this wakefulness would manifest through his election. Now, as far as Trump being principled and so forth, I think he's more of a pragmatist than he is on a principle. I believe that deep down he does have a spark of patriotism for this country and a love for this country. So that could be the saving grace for this presidency. But on the other hand, we have a president that has experienced such immense success in business, reaching several billions of dollars. He first started out in his campaign stating he was worth $10 billion. He's worth probably $3 billion, pretty solid, $2 or $3 billion. That's a lot of money. So we have a president for the first time that has homes that are bigger than the White House. And now he's in the White House, and so he has even a greater amount of power. But the problem that we're seeing now is that the deep state didn't want him there. Hillary's backers didn't want him there. BlackRock, the biggest investment company in the world, didn't want him there. And so he's upsetting to the existing world order, see. Now, he's beginning to go along with the new world order. And I think that this recent speech that he gave about the Iran agreement tells us that, yeah, the new world order is asserting their influence over him, because the state of Israel and other moneyed interests, big interests in the West, they want a diminished Iran, see. And they fear, you know, an Iran that has nuclear weapons with ICBMs as being a major threat in the future. And I can't disagree with that, see. And so the critics out there that are backers of Trump in this new, you could say, policy that he just espoused in the last few days would say we need to reorder that and renegotiate that was done under Obama, and it's not good enough, see what I mean? And so we need to renegotiate that and make it a tighter agreement. Obama at the end gave them and released billions of dollars to them and gave them billions of dollars in cash that was flown in there, see? I mean, it's unprecedented what Obama did, Barack Obama. And you talk about being outside the Constitution, he was a prime example of being totally, not totally, but a great deal of his executive orders and so forth, he went around Congress. Like he ignored Congress, even under the War Powers Act, Barack Obama ignored Congress on briefing Congress after so many days of starting hostilities against a foreign country. He ignored them, didn't even ever do it, see. And no one in Congress objected because they all got blackmail dirt on them, see. You know, they work these little honey pots, and it's still ongoing that, you know, and the pedophiles were rife there, and all this other things that have ensnarled many of our lawmakers into going along because they're blackmailable, see. So we've got that, you know, in the background of the U.S. Congress. They're all money hungry, so you give them money, you own them, see. We have the corporate structures out here that have grown to immense size and power and money and influence. And they're bigger than a lot of governments throughout the world, some corporations are. So then we have the rise of the the social networks and Google and so forth, and they have an overwhelming influence also with Congress and throughout the world, see. So we have these giant corporations that are taking over, and they were funded through the Fed, which is privately owned, and saved during this financial crisis that started in 2008. So they've liquefied those financials. But in doing that, then they've renewed their dominance, you know, over this country and regrown them to be the dominant players in the New World Order that is right, you know, at our doorstep, see. Now, they all meet there at Davos every year towards the end of January. Maybe 1,500, 2,000 or more corporations are actually on the roster. And there's many of their membership there that attend that if they're not officially a supporter or, you know what I mean, a sponsor of Davos. That's the World Economic Conference, see. So what's happened is that the Bible says you can either worship God or mammon. And what has happened is that the Western, especially, and the world in general too, has been transformed into worshiping mammon. And mammon is wealth, see. And so the worship of wealth is defined in the Bible as a very evil act, see. And not to do that, but to worship God, which is more spiritual, uplifting, a positive thing. So what has been transformed is that with the ownership of the elites to all, with all these different banks and entities, central banks, they begin to build a hierarchy of money rule, see. So we have money that's ruling now, and those that with the biggest money rule, okay? So what happens is that with that is it begins to corrupt. So we get back to Las Vegas, and how has that corrupted? We see a money center there, a big gambling center where people are lured into there that, oh, come here and make a fortune. They just fleece them, see. And the ones that are the biggest losers are provided the most complimentary rooms. They cop everything for the biggest losers. And so now, Pottick was getting complimentary rooms and so forth. They said that maybe this suite in the room up there were complimentary. I don't know. But it took the authorities 8 days to discern when he moved in, and now they're saying he moved into the rooms on the 25th, not the 28th of September. That would set him up for this first October 1st shooting spree. Then the man, 64 years old, takes 23 weapons up there. No, you don't need that many to do the killings that he's alleged to have done. So there's the problem there. You have a security guard out there that is missing right now or being hidden by the authorities that won't speak to anybody. You had three timelines that were changed. Well, there were one, two, and three. So we had three timelines, and we finally came up with a timeline that nobody is going to believe. See, it just provides protection for the casino. You have an employment record that is alleged to have been put up into the system just recently by top executive of Mandalay Bay. Now, that has not been, you know, verified. So that is a fact that's been published on the web, see, with screenshots that state have his name in there, but no employment record at all, just his name. And it's alleged that a top executive at Mandalay Bay inserted that information into the database. So that's ongoing. We have multiple witnesses that testify to multiple shooters from different angles. We have I was listening to the radio dispatch the other day of the Metro police there. And we have reports that there are shooters at Gate 4, shooting from Gate 4. Shooters at Gate 4, they say. Then there's multiple reports of midway up in the Mandalay Bay, there's shooting coming from the mid-level, they're stating, okay? There's multiple policemen reporting that, okay? And then people on the ground, we have one video that shows some intelligence or some security clothing, shooting into the crowd almost point blank with some kind of an automatic weapon, see? We have recordings that are galore and many recordings out there indicating then that there was multiple shooters in different locations with machine guns, okay, with automatic weapons. We have some coming in at a low going something like boo, 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 which would indicate something like an M60 belt-fed. And then we have the assault rifles that are coming in like with real short bursts that would actually be indicative of a magazine-fed AR-15 conversion to automatic or an M16 fully automatic. And he had those kinds of weapons that they are inventorying up on the 32nd floor. Now, the authorities are not telling us anything about, they're not taking questions. They're not, the press has a lot of questions. They would want to get more out of the maintenance man. They're not making any of those people available. The authorities are going in and taking all of the iPhones and the different cell phones, and they come back erased of all media, see, of any photographs or any video that was taken. There's still out there, though, a goodly amount of video that shows that there, and proves to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there were multiple shooters. They're alleging now from some sources that shooting took place at 9 different casinos. The fellow whose site I have up, Rios, is stating that he was at the Tropicana and definitely took place there. He heard people talking about shootings happening at the New York and Excalibur. He experienced that himself. He heard that in that area, in that vicinity. So those are three, the Tropicana, the New Yorker, New York, and Excalibur is what he's testifying to. But listen to that and view that video and see what you think. We just need everybody to come in, make their contribution, and witness with their personal eyewitness accounts and try to break this hold on this propaganda front that is being supposed to be. They're trying to erect a barrier between us and truth. Don't think it's going to work this case. I think it will be overwhelmed by Citizen Reporter Network. The Citizens Reporting Network, okay, would be a good name. And all the citizens out there, continue to look and be vigilant and keep those cell phones grinding away with video and sound. And let's get this thing solved. This is not going to work. The authorities are up against too many people. 22,000 people were there. They can't overcome the statements and the personal eyewitness accounts that 22,000 people are going to provide to the public. They can only intimidate a certain number of people. I just don't think that they're going to be able to intimidate 22,000 people that like kicker music, that believe in this country, that had their cell phones out there with the lights on while they were singing the Star Spangled Banner. So let's keep this country going. Let's continue to believe in America and the Star Spangled Banner. And these people stood up and they believed in that, and they turned their cell phones on and turned it up brighter than anything. So let's keep the light of truth burning, and let's try to get down to the truth of the Las Vegas shootings. But thank you very much for listening tonight. We appreciate love and respect, and God bless everyone in our listening audience. So good night.